Romans chapter 3. We last talked, the title of my last message was, How Bad Are We? Remember, that was Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And it's the reality of every single person. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh God. There's none that understandeth without God. I mean, God must move. And so then how do you get that across to people? And this next passage, and I'll share other passages, will help you do that, right? I mean, I say some crazy things to people after I get to know them in 30 seconds. And I the older I get, the more I can get away with it. And I love having fun. You don't have to be me. Do not even try to be me. It's not nearly as fun as it looks, okay? But be you. God created you, right? But how do you get across to somebody and say, you are a puke? Right? Worthless, less than nothing, worm. So I don't suggest we go around, you know, quoting verses to lost people that way. What you want to get the lost to is you want to get them to understand there's something dreadfully wrong with them. They're in trouble. It ain't with me, but it's with him. It's called the law of God. I will tell you, I can't even explain what changed in my life. I've door knocked for 38 years. I'm aging myself. 16 years old the first time I went out door knocking. I got chewed up and spit out that first night. So bad. And got me into the Bible. Went back, got chewed up, spit out again. But it got me into the Bible so many times. So if you get chewed up and spit out, just trust that God's wanting you to dig in his word. And so the more you serve the Lord, the more you'll fail, and after a while, you'll get comfortable that he's awesome and you're not. And it's just, you know, I tell folks, I've been fired more than anybody in this room collectively. I've started so many Bible studies, and they say, preacher, thanks. You know, they tell me to shut up, leave, get rid of me in such nice ways. I don't know if there's any more variety that they can, but I count it a privilege just to share the word of God. Because I live for people like you. It may look like it just was in vain. But God. And he brings them back. And I'm telling you this. You encourage me. Man, I'm telling you this. I love seeing it. I love your spirit, right? You don't know this. You know, you think, oh, you're a quiet guy. And man, you encourage me. Because you are a testimony to God's faithfulness. When he says he will never leave you nor forsake you, he will go with us in the pit. But praise the Lord, he'll get us out of that pit too, right? There's just nothing like it. Let's read Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. These are going to be the two verses that I'll cover tonight, and I hope that these will be a blessing to you. After Paul, through the Holy Spirit, deals with the just complete, utter, just evil of mankind. And that's us before we're saved. He says, now we know, verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We're going to parse these two verses apart. I want you to know this. Romans is probably one of the deepest books in the Bible. These verses are not difficult to understand because of the King James. I think sometimes you guys will say, wow, this just... The King James makes this so difficult. It's just the truths of God sometimes are just difficult. So be careful that you, too quickly, I think, say, well, it's that archaic language. It really is not that difficult, but let's parse it out because I do want you to understand some truths. And tonight, I want you to understand this. that this is practical truth for you. Here's why I love this, what I want to teach tonight. Here's what I want to teach tonight. I believe this. You all say, I want to tell people about Jesus, but you say, nobody will listen. Well, I want to tell you my experience, personal experience. The best way to get to the gospel is through the law of God. And we're going to look at this passage, get an understanding of this passage. I'm going to show you how Jesus did it, and I want you to begin to practice it, and it'll get you to the law. You know why I love the law of God? Because it always gets me to the gospel if somebody lets me use the law. It's uncanny. I'll take any of you out door knocking, and I'll show you. And I'm not Mr. Gentle. Working on it. You know, this morning you prayed for me. How many of you prayed for me that I'd be gentle today? Didn't work. And but you keep praying. You keep praying, right? I'm a hard case. But now let's just look at this. What the Bible says is the law of God speaks to those under the law. It says this. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Now, let me tell you what I believe when it's talking about the law here. Remember, there are three components to the Jewish law. There's the ceremonial law and all the details, and they were important. They all pointed to Christ that the priests and Levites must follow, and it was all to point to Christ. It should not be a surprise to you that once Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again, that just a few decades after that, Jerusalem was destroyed and the sacrificial system has never been restored since. We have the true example of Christ. A lamb was never sufficient to picture it, but it was to be used to remind us that a blood sacrifice was necessary for our sin. And the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist declared, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, he must come. So the ceremonial law, all the details with all of the feasts and that they would follow. There's the civil law. You understand what the civil law is. We have civil law here, speed limit 25, you know, no trespassing, you know, you can't put a gravel parking lot out and it has to be paved, you know, those things. I don't like them all. But that's the civil law of the land, and God's told us to obey the law of the land as unto the Lord. Didn't ask you whether you liked it or not, but we are to be good civil servants as unto the Lord. They tell us to do something contrary to God, we are to obey God rather than man. But in the United States, we've been blessed in most of our lifetime that there's not a ton of conflict for us, though evil abounds. Ceremonial law, civil law, and then there's the moral law. The moral law can be best testified and embodied by the Ten Commandments. When you see Jesus using the law, it's usually one of the Ten Commandments, and I'll show you that. So isn't that wonderful that you don't have to know the 631 commandments that are in the Old Testament? So that you're like, well, you just have to know 10. God knew Steve Hall would exist one time, and actually the Lord simplified them down to 2. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. But the law speaks to those under the law. So what does that mean? I want to turn to Galatians. Galatians is a great book that really deals with people that believe you're saved by works. And the Jews clearly came from that background because they had distorted the gospel. They had distorted the truth, many of them. And they thought that you were saved by following the law. The problem is, then they weren't honest that they weren't doing it. Jesus addressed that with the Pharisees. He said, you're teachers of the law, but you don't follow it. We saw that in Romans chapter 2. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We're going to look at several verses in Galatians. It speaks to those under the law, and I'll try to use the scriptures to help you understand that. Christ, Galatians 3:13, hath redeemed us, speaking of believers, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made, Christ was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. To be under the law is to be under the curse of the law, under the condemnation of the law. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, just a few verses down. But before faith came, in essence, before any of us became believers, we were kept under the law. What that means is under the condemnation of the law. We would be judged by the law of God. God will open the books and judge all the lost. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law, but the law is good. The law was our schoolmaster teaching us something. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. See, we're not justified by the law, and actually Romans 3:20 says that, but the law is our schoolmaster. Before we're saved, we are under the law, under the condemnation of the law, and we are condemned by the requirements of the law because none of us can meet the law. And then Galatians 5:18. If nothing else, if we're become a phone church, please have some books next to you and just shuffle them. It makes me feel better. Galatians 5:18, but if you be led of the Spirit, he's talking to believers, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so I want you to understand this. If you're a believer tonight, we're free from the law. Oh, happy condition. There's an old song. And we are not under the law, but the law was given, and it says to everyone that is under the law, turn back to Romans. In fact, when you're turning back to Romans, I want you to look at chapter 6, verse 14. I want to show you one other verse dealing with this being under the law. And then we're going to get practical tonight, too, so that you can use this. I want you to use this. This is not just education. There is a piece of this. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Speaking of believers again, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So that gives you a great picture. Before Christ, we are under the law, the condemnation of the law, because we have failed. We've broken God's law. We've transgressed God's law, and we'll be held accountable for that. And we know in Romans 2 that the law is written on every heart. And now Romans 3:19 and 20 tell us, why did God write the law in every heart? But before salvation, we are under the law. After salvation, praise the Lord, it's under grace. The favor of God, the unmerited favor of God, the kindness of God. Oh, we are saved by grace, not by the law. Jesus fulfilled the law so that he could satisfy the requirements of God. We were under the law, now we're under grace. Now let's look back at Romans 3:19. It says this, now we know that whatsoever things, the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? I want you to just look, I'll just give you these two next two. I only have 4 points. I may have 2 sub-points under the one. Did I give those to you? I did. Okay. Sometimes I send them to Abby early, then I add a bunch of stuff. You saw that this morning, or at least heard it. You didn't see it because it was after I sent it to her. But here's why the law was given. And here's what it says to everybody that's under the law. So here's what it says to everybody that's lost. Now this is top secret information. This is like secret code. You know, so like believers are like, lost people don't know, because what we're saying is, they know the law. Use it, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I can't tell you what the difference was. It's only been 10 to 12 years. I told you I've door knocked for 38 years. That's 20 plus years of rough. I was sometimes in environments, not always in environments, where it'd be like, got a black eye tonight. Oh man, you're spiritual. No, I'm an idiot. I don't know how to use the law. And nobody gets mad at me anymore. You ought to go door knocking. I mean, some of you have been door knocking. You're like, man, Steve, you got a little edgy there. I'm still working on me, and the Lord is too. But the world gives me great freedom because of the law. I'll just tell you, I just start out with this. I mean, can you believe this? You won't believe this. That people, I end up telling them that, based on your own words, based on your own testimony, you leave God no choice. He must send you to hell if you die tonight. You'd think, shut the door. Now, you know, occasionally that'll happen. Very rare. I mean, so rare that I can't think of the last time it's happened. But it's because the law has done its job. Because the law speaks to everyone under the law. Because it's written on their hearts and they all know it. I don't care what they say. God's right. And what I've learned is He is right. And the most beautiful thing is this. We're going to show you how Jesus did it. And this is, I just want you to learn this. It's like this. I'll ask people all the time. Ask a waitress, hey, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Waitress, Friday morning, had breakfast. And the waitress said, I think so. And I said, well, if God were to ask you why He let you in, what would you tell Him? She goes, I have no clue. And I say, well, you know what your problem is? You know, I mean, you're thinking, oh, He's going to get mad. But she hadn't got her tip yet. So it's kind of, you know, a captive audience. And, but I said, your problem is the same problem I have. So you try to get her on the little level playing field. I said, I'm a lot older than you, so I'm in way more trouble than you. I said, it's called sin. I said, you ever hear the Ten Commandments? And she goes, yeah, yeah. I said, do you know any of them? It's just crazy. Nobody knows. I said, well, let me just ask you a few. I just walked her down a few commandments. I said, you ever lied? You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness, lying's including that. I don't, you know, it's broader than that, right? I was Mr. Sneaky growing up. And so, man, that bearing false witness, like, caught me every time. I didn't lie. Fooled you, though, brother. But, you know, so I was violating that commandment, and I didn't really appreciate that until I got older. But I said, you ever lie? And she said, yeah, I'm just telling you. I said, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. I said, you're 0 for 1. I said, you ever use the Lord's name in vain? Like, oh, my God. I even hate saying that, but, you know. And she'll be, yeah, you just, folks, you got to watch this. Second time she said yes, her head gets lower. You know, I just go through a few more commandments. I'll say, have you ever stolen anything? No, no. Ever downloaded something from the internet that's not yours? Well, yeah, thief. Oh, well, okay. You know, if I deal with guys, I've never dealt with this one with girls because I'm like, I don't know what it's like to be a girl, praise the Lord. And but if I deal with guys, I'll say, you ever look at a woman with lust in your heart? You know, if I get guys, no, never. You just told me you lied. And I'll say, Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. I'm not pleased with that. It's embarrassing. It's ridiculous. It's evil and it's vile. They let me do that, and I'll say, let's just take 4 of the 10. And I'll say, how many do you have to break to be guilty before God? I'm like, I don't know. The Bible says 1. James 2:10, you ought to memorize that. The Bible says, if we keep the whole law yet offend in one point, we are guilty of all. And I'll say, you're 0 for 4. I think you've broken all 10. Some people that know, they'll go, I've never murdered anybody. I go, I'm a serial killer. I've literally had people back up. You know, because by then they're like, this guy's a kook, right? And I'll go, because Jesus gets me. I said, I've never shot, smothered, poisoned, or, you know, blown up anybody, whatever. You're like, you thought about that? So have you. Jesus says, if you have hate in your heart toward another, you're guilty of murder of the heart. You ever hated? Everybody's hated. You know why you didn't act out on it? You're afraid to get caught. Your reputation. Didn't want to go to jail. But boy, you'd love it if they died. Or if you just never saw them again for the rest of your life. But I love them. You're right. We know we dance on the, hey, I just don't like them a lot. And but it's all of a sudden, this young lady, I said, if you stood before God now, would you be innocent or guilty? Folks, I love this. I just love this. It never gets old to me. It is so awesome. It's so awesome. You watch the Bible come alive. The law was given to everybody under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I've tested it on jerks. They come to the door. I'm like, oh, well, Reed knocked on the wrong door. I want to leave those doors too. But I just love to use the law, see if it works. And it subdues the lions. And nobody gets mad at me. But that's not the big reason. But I am thrilled that nobody gets mad at me, because for 20-something years, everybody got mad at me. But here's what I love. They're guilty. And when they allow me to take them to that point of guilt. Now, some people will cut me off ahead of time. I'm too busy. Got to go. Every time I get to the gospel. Folks, I've had one time. I used to be able to say none. I've had one time in all my life, thousands of times, just simply using the law of God. And when somebody allows me to use the law of God, and I've watched God shut their mouth, I've watched Him make them guilty, I've watched Him do a work by the law, and I'm like, whoa, I wish somebody taught me this 38 years ago. Because listen to this, Psalm 19:7. In fact, you should turn there right in the middle of your Bible, Psalms 19:7. I want you to see this. I want you to believe in it. I want you to know this. And I want you to tell you this, when you begin to use the law, you will be awkward. I remember when I first started doing this, I felt so robotic. Hi, there. If you died tonight. You know, I mean, it was like, thank you so much. Have you ever heard of the 10? I say 10. You know, I mean, it was so pathetic, right? I'm glad they didn't have video cameras back then. But work through it. And it will become like your second language. Because you know what you want to get to? You want to get to that good news. But let me tell you this. Nobody's interested in the cure for cancer until you have it. Nobody's interested in the good news till they understand the bad news is all over you, my friend. The diagnosis is you have eternity in the lake of fire to look forward to. Well, how do I escape that? And you tell them about God and the good news, His great love. Psalm 19:7 says this, it is the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law, here's what it does. It teaches us two things, and this is my notes, but I want to show you some scripture, so I just want to tell you this. You see this in the scriptures? The law was given to everybody under the law. The law was given for all the lost. Everybody that you talk to. I just, you know, just have a good time talking to people. And you know, you're going to be a little bit like plastic at first because you're just working on the technique. Get through that, but then just end up having a conversation with folks. I'm just curious sometimes. I really just want to see. I'll say, why do you think God gave us the Ten Commandments? Just ask. And the answer, it's to show us how we should live. I go, how you doing? And so, you know, though, pretty good. Pretty good. I'll be like, pretty good. Well, let's see, how you doing? Would that be okay? Can we take a survey? And then they're like, their mouth is shut, and they're guilty before God. And then you get to tell them why the cross of Jesus Christ and His resurrection is a big deal. Because you're guilty. I still point my finger. My wife tells me, don't point your finger so much, right? People that go door knocking with me, I still have this issue. Those that go with me, I don't know what my issue is. I'm a little aggressive. I get closer to people. And I don't like the physical touch thing, right? Get out of my space, right? But for whatever reason, when I'm witnessing, I'm like, tonight if you die, you know, but I don't know what it is. I try to be more conscious of it because that's a little awkward, I'm sure, for them. But it's such a thrill to share the greatest news that I could ever tell them. I mean, there is nothing more important than to tell them how they can be made right with God. And the way to get there is the law. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. And here's what it does. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. The law teaches us that. Look over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I want you to see this. We cannot be justified by the law. This is how everybody thinks they're getting to heaven. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do good, preacher. I'm going to do good, stranger at my door. I'm going to do good, person that hasn't tipped me yet. Galatians 2:16 says this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And we've talked this in weeks past. The second thing it teaches us is by the law is the knowledge of sin. The way you know what's right and wrong is God wrote His law in your heart. And there is this time, it's not an age of accountability, it's a knowledge. That you become aware of your sin and you're accountable for your sin. We've talked that as we talked several months ago, I think, do babies go to heaven? And I'm convinced that God gave us the specific scriptures that the answer is yes. And it's completely consistent with His justice. I want to take you over to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to show you how Jesus does this very same thing. I want you to listen to Charles Spurgeon. Here's a quote that he has. He says, "My brethren," as you're turning to Matthew 19, "my brethren, we must not cease to declare the law, its demands, its threatenings, and the sinner's multiplied breaches of it." Listen to that again. "My brethren, we must not cease to declare the law, its demands, its threatenings, and the sinner's multiplied breaches of it." I will tell you, there are times still today. You know what? I try to be creative, but I don't really care. I'm going to kind of, if you go door knocking, I'm going to be like, I treat most people the same because it gets me to the gospel. There are times that I'm not really on it, that I'll start having a conversation and actually have a slight debate with people about spiritual things. And in the middle of it, God's like, "Why don't you try the law?" I'm like, "That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?" Because I'm striking out. And we're just boom, 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 boom. And then I just switch to the law. I don't even look for a transition. I'm just like, "Hey, if you stood before God, would you be innocent or guilty?" Where'd that come from? Don't worry. And it's totally just changed the conversation. God reminds me about that still to this day, and I love the Lord. He's so kind to me that He goes, "You are a horrible arguer." And I must be, because I've never won one yet being married 32 years. But I haven't given up hope. You know, I'm still trying. And trying to do it gently. Harsh has not worked over 32 years. And so Charles Finney says this: "Evermore the law must prepare the way for the gospel. Evermore the law must prepare the way for the gospel." You want to get to the good news? Give them the bad news. And they'll receive it. It is crazy. It is crazy that I am telling people that based on the law of God, that in their current state, they leave God no choice but to damn their souls to hell for eternity. And they're just like, "Mm." It's beautiful. Because it is their reality. You know, most people are delusional, including every one of us in this room. We don't admit what's true, but man, the law does it. Isn't that just, I just want you to get confidence in the law. This is so important. Every one of us are pathetic. You can't save anybody. You can't do a great job. But God can. Let's figure out how He told us how to do it. Use the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I love it. You'll love it. You get nervous. I remember it was like when I was first just trying the law, and I forgot, what's next? Well, the gospel. Because they'd be standing there, guilty, like a wet noodle, right? And then you can share it however you want. You'll just say, "Hey, you ever hear the word gospel?" However you want to do it. "You ever heard of the story of Jesus?" Well, what do you know about the story of Jesus? Why did Jesus come? And then you can say, "Well, He came because you and I, we are in trouble. Because we've broken His law. And He's a perfect judge." Let's look at Matthew 19. I want you to watch Jesus. Watch the Master. Watch Jesus, how He just deals with this. And you'll also see that He is okay to leave someone lost. and let the law work on their hearts, and the gospel to be the spiritual hornet's nest. Matthew 19, verse 16, you're familiar with this, but let's just walk through it again. Matthew 19, verse 16 says this, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" You'd think Jesus is in Romans, because look at what he says in verse 17. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So Jesus already deals with this. He deals with Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's only one that's good, and that is God. But let me tell you, I've told you this before, you've heard this before, there are two ways to heaven. All Baptists should preach this. Be perfect. Or believe in Jesus Christ. Anybody perfect here? I'm the closest. There's no competition. It's not. So, you know, just I know all of you said this. So this is an issue of your heart. You go, no, you're not. So that's wrong. Anyway, but it's Jesus dealt with this. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. He was telling this young man, you're not good, but let's just see. He says, if you keep the commandments, he says, you want to enter into life? Keep the commandments. He's going to let the law silence this old boy. Don't you love that? And so then this guy, he's delusional. He saith unto him, which, verse 18, Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you notice that Jesus is using the Ten Commandments? The omniscient, omnipotent God of the universe is following his own advice. You got to just understand this. When God says, hey, the law is really amazing, that's exactly what Jesus did. It's good advice. So he takes this guy to the law, and the young man, look at verse 20, said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I've never met anybody this delusional. Go through four commandments, man, normally they're butchering them. You know, if you go through four and they're like, I'm good, preacher. Go through five. Still good? How about six? So Jesus added another commandment. Just one of the Ten Commandments. And the beautiful thing is Jesus kind of has a leg up on us, that omniscience thing. And you know, he could read their mind. But we don't have to. We know that the law is written on their hearts. And so verse 21, Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect. Okay, young man. We're going down the perfection path. That's fine. Go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, do you have to sell everything you have? Yes, and put it in that old offering box right out in the back. No, just 3/4 of it. You don't have to sell everything you have. But he was dealing with covetousness of this boy. He was dealing with the rebellion of his heart. He loves stuff. And he thought, Jesus, you're welcome that I want to come onto your team. And Jesus, he's dealing with this. And then look at this, verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's what's interesting. If someone comes up to the average Baptist today and says, what must I do to have eternal life? You won't find these tracts in the back, but I went through over 400 tracts to find tracts. Sometimes you'll see a big old label on some of our tracts because it's covering up what I hate. People will say, well, you just say this prayer and mean it in your heart. I got to be careful. I don't make voices. You gotta say this prayer and mean it in your heart. Nobody door knocks anymore. I'll go, well, how much do I have to mean it? And they'll be like, well, I don't know. Like, really, really mean it or really, really, really mean it? See, it's not a prayer. It is a heart that is broken over your sin, and a heart that understands how much God loves you, and that you fall before Him and say, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner. I want to serve you." Jesus didn't say, "Well, just repeat this prayer and come." He had to deal with his sin, and he did. I want to hope and believe that this is a true story. This wasn't a parable. And I just tell you this, the gospel is powerful. And I think there was probably more said, and the gospel was clearly shared, but Jesus dealt with the law. Did you see how he dealt with the law? And here's the key. Sometimes you've got to get comfortable leaving people lost. If I can use this story with Kevin, I've known Kevin now for longer than I want to, but I'm just kidding. I've known Kevin now for 7 years, going on that, maybe eight, something like that. I guess about seven years. 7 years, and Kevin, this is probably 5 years ago. 5 years ago. Kevin was in my office, no, it was probably 4 years ago, whenever he did that wall. Before he did that wall. How long ago was that? Who cares? But Kevin was in my office signing the contract, and I was able to share the gospel again, and I think it's why Kevin loves Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, no, not one, because we covered that day. And so I'm not going to get to the good news until I let the bad news settle in. And Kevin, I remember that. Are you okay with me sharing this? Doesn't matter. No, I'm just kidding. I remember that day Kevin goes, "I knew it! I knew it! I knew I couldn't be good enough." And he began to weep. I'm thinking, oh, this boy's going to get saved today. I shared the gospel, and he left lost. I was brokenhearted. I've never experienced that in my life, just so you know. I've never seen someone that understood the truth so clearly. Broken, weeping, and they left lost. And the Lord and I had a conversation in my office that day. I'll be like, "What in the world is going on? I expected you to be saved soon thereafter. Had you and your family over at our house a couple times? Not enough." And it wasn't until last August, September, that Kevin came to know Christ. But the law was working on him. The gospel was working on him. And God brought circumstances into his life that he was gloriously saved. I'm going to trust that this rich young ruler that came to Jesus, see, he's just like everybody else. They say, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? What? Just tell me what I got to do." You know, and he's a rich guy, so he's like, "Name the price. What do I got to pay?" "You can't do anything, my friend. I'm your only hope. In fact, you are hopeless without me." And Jesus took him to the law, because the law was given to everyone that's under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law teaches us that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified by the law. You see, it's why I pound on it. It's a false gospel. If you get to heaven by works, it's a false gospel. If you get in by works, it's a false gospel. If you stay in by works, that is not an excuse that you go live lascivious lives, evil lives, wicked lives. If you're truly born again, then the pattern of your life, can a Christian do evil things? Yes, they can. This flesh never wants to do right. But I'll tell you, show me a miserable person. It's a Christian that's not doing what's right. That's a blessing, isn't it? Can we walk away from the Lord for a year? But oh man, when you look back, it's like, how could I be so stupid? I've been there. I'm not picking on you, right? I'm not. I promise you. We've all been just morons spiritually, because sin makes us stupid, doesn't it? And now you see so clearly, you're like, what in the world was I thinking? You're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. Any of us that do this in this room, we can do dreadfully terrible things. But if you're a believer, you want to do what's right. Oh, but you fight this flesh and you fail. And I kid you not, when I was 16 years old, I thought for sure by the time I was 54 that I would have this thing down. And it would be like smooth sailing. You know, I still feel like I'm like, Jesus, peace be still. I feel like I'm on this boat that's just rocking and just, it's my life is, I just feel like a little kid sometimes. What have I learned? But I will tell you the goodness of God, He saved me. I will help you. I will teach you these simple, I'll call them methods, but it's God's ways. How to use the law. I love it. I believe in it because it gets us to the gospel. The only way someone's going to be saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God unto salvation. No one's saved by the law, but the law is the pathway to the gospel. And the law shuts their mouth. Guilty. Doors open. Share the gospel. They may not be saved then, but don't you underestimate the power of the gospel. The only way people are saved is by the gospel. Love the law. Love that we're under grace for those that are believers and not the law. Use it, and you'll get to the gospel. Let's pray.